Blog Talk Radio.
Show Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, aka Jay Signo, and for the next 40 to 58 minutes, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy. We're also going to be talking about current events, what's going on, and relevance to Bible prophecy. The New World Order is taking a giant step forward in December. With the passages of a few international bills. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later also. But I want to talk about right now the general public and the wool that Satan has pulled over the eyes of society to blind the eyes of men. And see, a lot of people believe that things happen because they happen. They think that the reason why the more things change, the more things stay the same is because the normal forces that bring reality is nothing more than chance. Roosevelt said, nothing in politics happened by accident. If it happened, it was planned that way. And don't you think our media should tell us the things that they should tell us, but they don't tell us anything because they are owned and operated by the very men who run the world? The same men who shot Kennedy, the same men who shot Kennedy is the same people who run the presses now, the printing presses now. It's been said that the media is the fourth branch of government, but you know that's not true. But the media's responsibility is to alert the populace to what's going on, especially the African Americans, because I believe that we are in a position of post-slavery / post-civil rights movement. And the government has already done so much to the African American, even counting us as, at the black America at the time, well, one-third human, two-thirds human. The government has been shafting us for a long time. And I'm not the type of person who pulled the race card, but the point I'm trying to prove is, if you've been shafted that long, shouldn't you just make sure you're not being shafted today? And I'm talking about every race. I'm talking about the African American. I'm even talking about the Mexican, the one they accuse of crossing the border. Yo, give me a break. Whoever can say that I'm an American citizen and you walking around, imagine this. Okay. Imagine yourself just standing in a field, you know, and right across is a city. And approaching you are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, forget it, thousands of people. And they all got their eyes inside out where they can't see. That's basically what it is. Nobody can see anything. Nobody, you either get into a position you don't want to see, you're willing to see, but you don't have the time to see. Therefore, you're scared that it's going to be something revealed to you that you can't handle. And there are some people out there who can't handle small things. And then there are people who put their head in the hole and hide from everything, like a ostrich putting his head in the hole. John Kennedy had talked about the media. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip for y'all, JFK Part 1. And he's talking about the media's responsibility to the American people to give us the truth, which they're not going to give us the truth, so don't worry about that part, because they even got the CIA sitting in the Fox and CNN and CSNBC. Fox, all those organizations, they have the CIA sitting right in there telling them what they can and cannot play. Talk about freedom of speech. Then, yes, freedom of speech is tied to corporations as well. Now, can you break the law saying, on national TV saying, oh, we're going to go and, you know, blah, 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 blah? No. You can't break the rules, the law. But how far is the law towards freedom of speech? Okay? So let's listen to JFK, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
That was John F. Kennedy. And the most important thing today is when something happens on television, for instance, the country's attacked, like 9/11, or something real fast that the news has to respond very quickly to get us the details out, or a presidential assassination, some president, some prime minister, some king or queen is shot or murdered. I'm going to take a break right quick. I have to take a break, and we'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had some technical difficulties, but I'm back. Now, what I was talking about was John F. Kennedy's his speech to the press, and he was telling them about their responsibility to the American people to get the truth out. I want to play for y'all on this Eisenhower tape, and I can tie it together. I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Sound like today, the military-industrial complex, the people who are causing economic problems and looting our public of their monies, saying that there's a disaster and threatening us that if we don't, threatening Congress at least, that if we don't respond and send them more money to fill the holes, then we're going to be in trouble. And so they send these $700 billion packages to these companies like AIG, and then they send more money, and they just keep continue to ask, and we continue to bail these people out. Well, what happens if me and you need to bail out? What happens if we need a credit bailout? I mean, what happens when we need help? And we need someone to bail us out of these problems. So we have to ask ourselves these questions. Well, who's going to help us when the going gets tough? And see, the reason why I played both of them, Eisenhower and Kennedy, because Kennedy was warning us that the media should be, their duty is to let the American people be aware of the globalist agenda that we're facing. And he knew that corporations would sooner or later merge. By the way, shoot the president right after Eisenhower himself. He knew that they would, these secret societies would emerge, and these corporations would emerge to control what is going on in the world. So what we need to do is stay informed, people. We need to stay informed. And if we don't stay informed, we're gonna lose our country, and we're gonna lose the way it is, our freedom that we have. Okay. So, what we need to do is we need to stay aware of what is going on, and there's a lot of resources for us to stay well informed of what is going on. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. Now, what I want to do right now is to let y'all listen to a Russian economist, and we'll be right back.
Igor Nikolaevich, to one of your previous lectures, you mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on? In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into 6 pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response. But even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the three main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the U.S. The first one is the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into 6 parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are a fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic coast, they are all financial centers first of all. And the northern states of the U.S. are basically the depressive states, which are close to Canada in their mentality and economic development. This is how I divide these parts. The danger is this would not be a very beneficial solution for Russia.
Well, as soon as you've mentioned it, how this potential disintegration of the United States can affect the world, and in particular, what will it mean for Russia?
Economy has been met with bank bailouts and stimulus plans. So what's to come in 2009? Joining me now to answer that question is Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure.
How would you define the economic trend that you have forecasted for 2009?
We're going to see an economic collapse the likes of which the world has never seen before. It's not only in the United States, it's going global. At the end of 2008, we saw Christmas sales, retail sales. Women's apparel down 23%. Home furnishings and electronics off 27%. Luxury items down 35%. These are Depression-era collapses. We saw major bankruptcies. Circuit City, we saw Linens and Things. One bankruptcy after another. Then we saw store closings. Starbucks, Home Depot. Down the line, the question becomes, who is going to take all of the vacant retail space? Who is going to rent it? The answer is nobody. Now we look at the financial collapse in 2008. You saw the Merrill Lynch mob go under, the Bear Stearns gang go out of business, the Lehman boys, they went bankrupt. You saw bond companies, brokerage firms, banks go belly up and bought out. Who's going to rent all the vacant commercial business space that they used to occupy? The answer is nobody. The commercial real estate collapse that's going to happen in 2009 is going to dwarf the residential real estate collapse.
You use the Great Depression as an analogy, as a comparison. During the Great Depression, unemployment was at 25%. Now it has increased. It's at, I think, over 7.2. Is that number going to get much, much bigger?
We have to look at the real number. There's two sets of books the government keeps. When they measure up unemployment, they don't add in the people who are no longer looking for jobs because they've become discouraged and can't find any after looking so long. And they don't include part-time workers. When you put that number into it, the number is 13.7%. And that's a government number. And this is just beginning. And again, current events form future trends. What did we see? We saw in one day 61,000 jobs evaporate off the map. You're going to see Great Depression numbers. Because as I'm mentioning with this real estate, commercial real estate collapse, all of these retail stores closing, Starbucks, Macy's, you go down the line, you look at not only the people that work for these places that no longer have jobs, but how about all the support industries, the advertising, the manufacturers of products that are going to be laying off people as well. We're going to see Great Depression numbers. And matter of fact, this is going to be worse than the Great Depression.
What are we going to see happening to the society, to people's day-to-day lives in terms of how they treat one another, how they behave, crime?
When I say it's going to be worse than the Great Depression, we call this the Greatest Depression, and by the way, to be using 1930s models to get us out of this is really stupid. Back then, when we first crashed, most people didn't own homes. There was no such thing as a home equity. And back then, people didn't have credit cards. The consumer wasn't $14 trillion in debt. We had a manufacturing base that built the world out of the Great Depression following World War II. We no longer have that. So now people are at the edge. They're stressed out. And look, the Americans are the most depressed nation in the world already. They take more antidepressant drugs than anybody. Plus the other kind of drugs that they're taking. You're going to see crime levels in America that are going to rival that of a third world country. Welcome Mexico City. You're going to start seeing people being kidnapped in this country like they do in other underdeveloping nations. So it's going to be very violent in America.
You're not exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating. The facts are there. They are the same. When people lose everything and they have nothing to lose, they lose it. You're going to see off with their heads. There's going to be another revolution in this country.
When will this revolution that you have forecasted in your Trends Journal happen, and what will ignite it?
It's going to be a tax revolt. We're going to start seeing a tax revolt in the United States. People are one job away from losing everything. We're seeing more and more foreclosures, people being laid off. People get stretched to the limits, and what are they doing? New York State, 130 new taxes they're proposing. They're raising sales taxes. There's going to be a tax revolt in this country from property taxes first and school taxes second. That's where it's going to start seeing it start to happen.
Do you feel people are not hopeful that Obama will make a difference?
People are hopeful, they're desperate, and they're fearful, and they'll hang on to anything. Let's look at the facts. A man of change Who did he bring into Washington? You know, they say, by their deeds you shall know them. Let's look at his Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner, a former Robert Rubin retread from the Clinton administration, the former president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. Change? How about Larry Summers, the former Clinton Secretary of the Treasury? And look what, I mean, I've been around a long time. I never remember a newly elected president bringing in basically the national security team from the last administration who happened to be from another party.
So you don't think Obama's different in any way?
By their deeds you shall know them. If I bring in a hitter that strikes out every time and I want him to play in the World Series, is he going to hit the ball over the fence? They brought in Larry Summers, Timothy Geithner. Look at the crew. Look who they are. They're strikeout artists, every one of them. The only thing that they know how to do is not to get their fingernails dirty.
There was a sentence in your report, your Trends Journal, that really caught my attention. You wrote, on 9/11, those who listened to the authorities and returned to their offices went down with the towers. So, are you saying that Americans should not be listening to the officials that are saying these stimulus plans are going to make everything better? Is that the analogy there?
Read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Why would anybody believe these people?
So what are Americans supposed to do? If they're not supposed to trust their leaders?
Personally, I buy gold. And we've been talking about gold since the Trends Journal's 2001. We pegged the bottom. We said it would start going up at 275. Number two, you don't spend a dime you don't need to spend.
What would be the good jobs to benefit from in this year?
Anything having to do with health. Anything. It's going to be a growth industry. Unfortunately, a lot of them aren't going to pay a lot of money in that field because a lot of it's going to be elder care. And the other thing really is anything having to do with conservation engineers. Anything that's going to...
Okay, I'll stop it right there. That's my little kid in the background. I kind of recorded it from the computer straight up to the audio. I know that's kind of ghetto, but I did it anyway. And I left my kids on there because I like hearing them. But, yeah, the first three takes that I played was John F. Kennedy warning us about the media, the responsibility of the media. The second one was Eisenhower talking to us about the military-industrial complex, which is technically secret societies because they don't want to be known. And the last one was Jerry Salente giving you a current synopsis. And this guy is pretty accurate on his predictions on things that are happening. Also, the Russian economist talking about the United States will be divided up into pieces. Now, we don't know exactly when these things are going to take place. But we sort of have a kind of inkling on when these things are going to take place and when they're going to happen. So I don't know personally when these things are going to take place, but we just can't come and say when they're going to take place. We don't have a pet, you know, a crystal ball on. But God is a sovereign God. He knows everything, and his plan is going to work out just fine. And there's going to be millions of people, billions of people saved in the tribulation period. God has not left anything undone. He's got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. He knows exactly what's going to happen from beginning and to end. And it's us who don't know. Okay. But the globalists have given us warning signs that they are approaching a new world order. And we know that the new world order in the Bible predicts a 10-nation confederacy that will arise and take over the whole world. And many people believe it is the ancient Roman Empire, the ancient geographical ruins of the Roman Empire. Now, if you look at Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was asked by Nebuchadnezzar, because of some of his Nebuchadnezzar's men knew Daniel, and they said that there's a guy that can interpret dreams. So they went and got Daniel. So Daniel interpreted the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. So the statue standing up, and the arms and the shoulders were Media Persia, and the chest was Greece, which is Alexander the Great, and the thighs, or the legs, both legs, was the Roman Empire. Now, the legs are divided up into two, which is Constantinople and Rome. So the capitals from the east was ran by Constantinople, and the west was ran by Rome, of course. Now, they're still the feet, right? So the statue is divided up into two legs. Now, the fourth empire, the third empire is also a fourth empire, which is the Roman Empire. Actually, the fourth empire is the fifth empire, which will be the Roman Empire. And it was divided into two. And people say, well, it's the Europe. I believe that it's a Mediterranean Union. So, Nicolas Sarkozy, a year ago in July, they had a conference, and they brought about a Mediterranean Union at these conferences. Now, you notice that through all these conferences, the globalists have these conferences like the Kyoto conference and G20 summit conferences, and they're changing legislation, and they're changing things at these conferences to bring about their agenda for a one world government or a socialist empire ran out of supposedly the UN. But it's not going to work out that way, because I don't believe it is. Now, it could be some form of a UN type of organization, or it can just be flat out, you know, the Mediterranean Union, like Sarkozy had last year. Now, what is on the forefront seems to be a meeting in December to tie all the nations together in some metamorphosis of a deal. But if you look at Daniel chapter 2, it talks about, now, the head of gold was just that, gold. And the shoulders was brass, and then as you go down, silver, actually. And as you go down, the stomach was brass, and as you go down, the legs were mixed with iron and clay. And that shows a weakening of a system that was created by man. But I'm going to go ahead and let you hear me. Here's a taping of me in July 22nd, 2009. And here we go.
Hello, welcome to the program today. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next 53 minutes, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy and what's going on in the world. There is there was an eclipse that was shown in the Indias and the India part of the world. That was very, I took a look at it and went on to view it, and it was beautiful. It lasted like 6-something minutes. It's supposed to be the longest of its kind. And I just thought that was very interesting to note, which we'll talk about later about the signs. Now, I want to go over the book of Revelations today and look at some important points. But every time I finish a chapter, I'm going to refer back to the chapter, and I'm going to ask you, did you hear the word church in it? Now, many people believe that there is no rapture of the church, and they ask me, why you spend so much time on this? It's because of the importance of the hour that we're living in. We're living in an important hour that we have to acknowledge that God has made a way of escape. God has made an emergency escape hatch. In a burning house, you do not stay in the burning house to prove a point that you're tough. You get the heck out. And the car rat, car is in reverse. You put the seatbelt on to protect yourself. Not saying that you're not going to get injured if you have your seatbelt on. The possibility you can still get injured. But there's a good chance you won't get injured. So if you walk up to somebody that wears seatbelts and say, I don't suggest you wear that seatbelt today, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Or I suggest when the house starts burning down next week, you stay in it. Or if your house ever burned down, you stay in it. Or combine the two. If your car starts to explode, just lay in the seatbelt. Just calm your nerves. Just let the car blow up so you can get 90-degree burns over your body. No, you try to get out. Well, if you look at the Old Testament, anytime Israel was faithful to God, they won their wars most of the time. If you look at it, when Israel was faithful, even when they wasn't faithful, God delivered them using many plagues to deliver them from Egypt. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and they still got delivered from Egypt. If you look at it through the Bible, when Lot was, it says it vexed Lot's righteous spirit daily. So Lot was a righteous man, even though he had his troubles, and he got out the city. His wife looked back, who loved the world and the things of it. Now, I want to do a special on that, too, about Lot's wife. Looking back at the pleasures of the world. Looking back, not knowing God's promises that this world is cursed. And there's a better place to come. There's a better world to come. And we have to understand that. Okay? So, this part of my show is recorded. Because I'm trying to record some of the 4 o'clock shows. And I'm going to move my office to a designated spot in my house, which is, I mean, not office. I'm going to move my studio. My studio, believe it or not, is upstairs in our living area where we eat and stuff. So it's right in the middle of it. So sometime I'm going to pause this thing and you're going to hear the pause, and I'm going to break and then do something else. But for right now, I'm going to probably take calls like, it depends on how it goes, how everything goes, but I like to take calls. I won't really take any calls into maybe the last 20 minutes of the show. I'll try to take calls. Remember that I'm not going to take any calls until the last 20 minutes of the show, but I would love for you to sit there and listen. And coming Friday, or starting Friday, when I do a show, I'm going to do it live so everybody can call in and participate. Being that this is the Book of Revelations, I'm going to do some current events as well. Well, not really current events, but I'm going to talk about the times of off and the signs that that just preceded it. Which was July 22nd. You probably saw, I wasn't really watching the news, but you probably saw the eclipse. And this is the time of off. So just keep your eyes open that there could be something that will happen within the 10 days, especially on the 9th of off, which is the 30th, I think. Anyway, like I was saying before, I believe that the rapture of the church is imminent. And The rapture of the church will precede the tribulation period. The tribulation period is not for the church. We're not to fall under condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, God has come to condemn the world only because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. Other than that, he has not come to condemn the world. Now, let me repeat that. God has come to condemn the world only if they don't receive Jesus Christ. But he has not come to condemn the world other than that decision. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit calls you and says, come out of this world and be ye separated, and you stay in the mess that you're in, or you stay in the life that you're in, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So the church is not appointed to wrath. God, the Bible says that Paul said that the church is not God has not appointed us to wrath. That's his wrath, the day of the Lord. If you read the book of Joel, Zechariah, Isaiah, the time that is appointed is God's wrath. Now, when people say, well, what about the missionaries that have been killed? They don't understand the Bible. They have the slightest idea, and I'm not saying it arrogantly. I'm just saying they don't understand the Bible. Had they understand the Bible, they would know that the wrath of God is a 7-year tribulation period. That's the time of Jacob's trouble, but it's also the time that God leashes his say. He has.
Okay, I'm back. I was having technical difficulties. I want to address an issue that just came up. The pre-trib rapture. I decided to stay out of as many debates about it. There is a either or answer. It's either there is one or there isn't one. And when we say that there is no future rapture because it just came up in the early 1900s or the 20th century, we need to actually sit down and kind of get rid of that for a second and see what God said in his word. And I got 15 minutes to try to explain. Is there a rapture? And I'm not going to, I'll tell you this. If you grab your Bible, and for those who don't know what the rapture is, it is a secret coming for Jesus coming for his church to take him out of the world before a 7-year tribulation period begins. I look at the simplicity of the thing, and I don't bother with complications. And people probably say, what are you talking about? Well, if you look at Revelations very closely, the word church is mentioned 19 times from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And what did God say to the church of Philadelphia? He says, I will keep you out of. Now, let's use the literal word church as the church. You say, what are you talking about? When you're looking at Revelation from chapters 1 to chapters 3, you can go find me. I can tell you right now to go find me the word church and count the times you find the word church. And then I can tell you, okay, now you found it 19 times or whatever you found it. Now I can tell you to go ahead and get up, find me the word church between chapters 4 and 5. Then you can go and you try to find it, and then you come back. Now, here's the key. Find me the word church from chapter 6 to chapter 19. You won't find it. You say, well, there's saints in there. Why would God mention the word church 19 times, trying to emphasize to you to the Church of Ephesus, to the Church of Sparta, to the Church of Philadelphia, to the Church of Laodicea. He's trying to let you know, hey, there is a church in Revelations. So now go find me the word church between chapter 6 and chapter 19. You won't find it. Now you find the word saint and elect, maybe. See, people like to use Matthew 24 and say, see, the church is not in it. The church was not even formed when God was talking to those disciples in Matthew 24. They wasn't even around. So the disciples did not belong to the church at that time. The disciples were just that, disciples. They were, and then later on they became apostles, which means we have been with Jesus. So let's look at God's nature. When Israel was obedient to God, did they die? No. When Lot, it says it vexed Lot's righteous spirit that he would be there. Why did they say that? Because Lot was a righteous man, even if he did do what we assume he was worldly, I guess, I don't know. But he took Lot out. His wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt, right? What about Noah? Noah was a righteous man. He took him out. Now, he sat there and asked, and now let's go back to Lot. He said, Abraham sat there and asked, if there's 50 righteous people, if there's 40, if there's 45 all the way down, I'm just kind of exaggerating, but all the way down to 10, no, I will not destroy the city. There were 10 righteous. How are we proven to be righteous? Our righteousness is a filthy rag. So we take on the righteousness of Christ on the cross when we believe what he did for us, and he is our Savior because we ask him to be our Savior and Lord. So we live daily for him. So we are now righteous in Christ. He said it vexed Lot's righteous spirit. So what did God do? He took Lot out. What is restraining in chapter 5? What is restraining? Would Satan restrain the Antichrist? It says, until he is taken out of the way, then that man of sin will be revealed. Will Satan, can a kingdom be divided against a kingdom? Why would Satan hold his own man back when he loves bringing Antichrist, miniature Antichrist, on the scene? Why would he restrain the Antichrist? Okay, so it's not Satan. So could it possibly be the Holy Spirit restraining? What did it say in John chapter 14, 15 and 16. It says the Holy Spirit is to restrain evil, to convict the world of evil. They cannot do in the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. What happened in chapter 6? What's the first thing that happened in chapter 6 of Revelation? The Antichrist was revealed. So what happened in chapter 4? Something happened when the door was open and John was called up into to heaven. Are you saying that John represents the church? The church is not mentioned again. Now, to say that the elect is normally Israel in the Word of God. So the saints is all believing people set apart from God from the found from Adam and Eve all the way up to the end to deep into 8 billion years from here. They are called saints. We're called saints. So when the Bible says that the Antichrist will frustrate the saints, let's look at some little clues. They didn't say he should frustrate the church. He said he should frustrate the saints. Could it be, if you guys would just sit back and relax and chill, that you'll find out that the 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses and the angel flying through the sky actually knew how to evangelize? He says, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So where's the church? Why isn't the church preaching the gospel in the tribulation period from chapter 6 to chapter 19? Because they're not there. Okay, I got 8 minutes to go, but the point is a person has said that they didn't believe in the preacher rapture. The rapture of the church, just because it's become popular, sit down and read the Bible and say, wait a minute. Why isn't the word, why did he mention the word church all that time and just stop using it? Ask yourself a question. Well, the church needs to go through the tribulation period so they can be rejuvenated. And it's all been done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. What did he say to the church in Philadelphia? I will keep you out of the time of testing. Why would somebody even come up with the idea that he's just going to keep us away from the horrors of the tribulation period? It said, if this time was not cut short, no flesh will be saved. Go see that 2012 movie. I ain't saying it's going to be that bad, but go see it. No, that's not even, I think that's an understatement. Jesus said, no flesh will be saved. So how are you expecting the church? He didn't even seal the church. 144,000 Jews are sealed. The people who come to Christ is sealed. They have the seal of Christ on them. But the church does not, it's not introduced as being sealed like the 144,000 were on the hill mountains. They were sealed. Who are these? They're sealed. The church was never like that. So the church is, you mean to tell me the church is that bad that Jesus was lying when he said that God will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? The true church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no way. God is not a liar. God is not a liar. I have not been looking at the chat room this, so I apologize. I like I said, I got like 3-4 monitors up. Actually, I just not looked at them. I apologize for not looking in on the chat room. These shows are just like not even, I don't even advertise yet. I got a whole bunch of people that are listeners and followers, but I'm going to start having guests in January. Now I don't understand the call. What are you, the person in the chat room? I don't understand what you're asking. If you can, if you're on, could you send me an email through the Blog Talk Radio email, and then I'd love to talk to you, and then have you even on the show. I don't really know you that well, but I'm right now. I got like a couple minutes, and I don't know when you wrote that. It says, "May I join you on the air so we can?" Oh yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Matter of fact, could you email? Just email. Do you have your own show, or do you have? If you can't, email me. And then I'll email you back, and then I'll call you tomorrow because it's kind of late here. I'm on the Pacific time slot. But I'd love to talk to you. That's cool, if you can. But anyway, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. Like I say, my show is going to be handled a lot different in the future, professionally. I kind of like winging these things, and the Holy Spirit just gives me things to say. But I had a lot of family issues, phones ringing. Nothing doesn't seem like it happens until you get on the air. And I kind of went and played a lot of tracks and things and clips, and I didn't mean to do all of that. I meant to just come on and talk about the issues and talk about the news, especially the shooting that was on today. I wanted to talk about how the devil is involved, but I don't believe the devil's behind every corner. But I do believe he's hiding behind every other house who has four corners. So God is good. God is a merciful God, and he loves his people, and he wants us to know that. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And that is the truth. I'm gonna have I got like 3 minutes left on the show, and I would love to have you on here. I wish you would call. Wish you'd call in a little bit earlier. Caller, I wish you can had called in a little bit earlier, but I have been having technical difficulties. So I'm going to probably be doing a show on Sunday, and I'd love to give you a chance to talk on my show, and I'd love to be able to come on yours if possible. But God bless y'all out there. We are going to be starting in January. I'm going to be having people on my show daily, especially Blog Talk Radio people. That's going to be my meat and potatoes, so to say. And then I'm going to be trying to get a lot of other people on here. I talked to a few people before, like Anthony Hilder and Terry Cook and Dr. Stan Ortiz before. And I was trying to get, them on my show a while back. But I was also trying to get them to asking them questions about how to start my own radio program, and go figure. Here I am doing this. And, yeah, my sister told me I need to get the ums out of my vocabulary because I have too many ums. But the caller, I would love to have you on my show, and I'd love to have you go ahead and chat with me. But I'm kind of like running out of time. But God bless everybody out there, y'all have a wonderful night. About it, Ralph, you didn't make no noise. It's kind of chilly in here. I just saw a fire.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody else might think it's good because I kept putting different clips in, but the clips are too long. There's so much stuff I can't, like at midnight. Like when I stopped going to school, I stay up a little bit later doing these clips. Small clips.
Thank you. figured out now. When I go over to Marquise's house, I'll just make a protein and shake. Little gym pool thing. There's the bench, and then we have a heavy band up there. And thank you for the deodorant, though. What is that? We hurried up and went to Nate's house because